His name is as ointment poured forth.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
His name is as ointment poured forth. His name is as ointment poured forth. His name is as ointment poured forth.
Welcome to Zion's Trumpet. Another Sunday evening with your brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Everybody doing good this week? Okay, good, good, good. All right. Well, we've been very busy. Joey Honecker is not really Joey. That's Mother. She's listening upstairs in her room. Let's see. First of all, should we open up to see if anybody else has anything to share before I start tonight? Anybody have anything to share? Anything on your heart? Looks like Sister Irma has something to share. Go ahead, Sister Irma. You've got the mic.
Okay. I'm so glad your mother's doing better. And I just want to give thanks and glory to God for answering our prayers for her. Praise the Lord. It's just like a miracle to me. Now, I just wanted to give a few comments on last week's program. I enjoyed the song again, Be Still My Soul, on Monday morning. It reminded me of the words, Be Still and Know That I Am God, which give me comfort from time to time. Your teaching on the days of Noah was so good, it gave me more clarity on the simple truth of man's fall in the beginning of time. It never ceases to amaze me how preachers and Bible teachers have twisted and distorted God's word. I recall fellowshipping with a group who would look in the Bible for scriptures to appease the flesh, but they never searched for how to crucify the flesh. This is one reason God's people do not die to self, because they never had that teaching. Now they are fallen by the wayside. So sad. Also, Dan, when you spoke on the spiritual ark, it was a blessing and very encouraging, because we know that God's judgments on this godless America. And this is a word in due season. When the devil comes to discourage or tempt us in any way, keep this vision of the only place of safety is the spiritual ark. Psalm 91. I'm memorizing that now. Thank you, Dan, for this excellent word and all the truth you share with us. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sturba. Appreciate it. God bless you. Anybody else have anything to share? Let's see. I wanted to say one thing. I've been pretty sick this week. Not that I'm complaining or asking for pity. I'm just telling you, I've been pretty sick this week. Pretty weak, actually, from the medications I'm on. So I didn't have a lot of time to work on this, what I'm going to share today. I was in bed most of the week. Spent a lot of time in bed. I'm feeling better because I didn't take that pill today. So I'm hoping to, you know, things will work out all right. But I just want to let you know that I was not really up to doing anything heavy this week. I was keeping an eye on the news, though. I'm going to share something with you, not saying anything real spiritual tonight, but I want to share some natural stuff with you and give you my point of view of what's going on here. Just for what it's worth, it's only my view. It's not thus saith the Lord, all right? And you think about it. See how you feel about it, okay? Yesterday, or I think it was the day before I came up, one of the last couple of days, I was looking through the news, and I saw a photo of a recent billboard somebody put up, and they put the picture of it on the internet. And this billboard says, "For God's sake, wake up. He's ruining our America." And "our America" is in big, bold, capitalized letters. "Wake up" is in big, huge letters. "For God's sake, wake up. He's ruining our America." And you look at that sign, and it's obvious that the person or the individuals, you know, who designed that are desperately trying to get their fellow Americans to wake up to see what this guy's doing, is Hussein Obama, this communist, Marxist, Muslim, what he's doing to their nation. But it's also obvious as you read the newspaper and as you read the polls and what people are saying and what people are allowing the government to do and how they're agreeing with what's going on, that warnings like that are falling on deaf ears. And I wonder if these guys who made this sign, the person who made that sign, or people who like that who make these kinds of signs, if they have any idea why so many Americans are so blind to what's going on. And no matter what they do or what they say, these people can't wake up. They won't wake up. They just refuse to see the truth. I wonder if they realize why that is. I believe the current situation in America wasn't so tragic because of our history and sad. It would be funny. It'd actually be funny to listen to people try to explain, you know, what's happening and what to do about it, because, you know, many people who are now warning Americans of what's going on, a lot of them just blame it on Obama. Some of them go back further and blame it on politicians or the policies of George Bush. Some go back further and blame it on even Franklin Roosevelt with his New Deal. That's when the Social Security card was put into place. And I have no doubt that Mr. Roosevelt's New Deal was part of it, a major part of what's going on. But it goes back even further than that. However, just mentioning that error, I ran across an article. It was a cartoon from the Chicago Tribune in 1934. And that article was trying to warn Americans that the communists were in the government, not just the country, but were in the government, working even then to destroy the country from within through a gradual implementation of economic socialism. That's welfare programs, free everything. So back in 1934, the Chicago Tribune put a cartoon in their paper which was warning the American people that communism was taking over the United States. And upon this cartoon, they have a little picture of Stalin here, and they have America represented as a horse and wagon going, you know, down the street with all these people on board. And there's a guy down at the bottom of the left-hand corner. He's painting a sign. And the sign is called Plan of Action for the U.S. He's a communist. And this is what's written on the sign. This is incredible. 1934. Spend, spend, spend. Under the guise of recovery, bust or bankrupt the government. Blame the capitalists for the failure. Junk the Constitution and declare a dictatorship. If that's not today's headlines, nothing is. Spend, spend, spend. How many trillions of dollars have we spent? There ain't no more future generations. The Lord's coming. But if you had 10 more future generations, all 10 would be in debt till kingdom come. Okay? Spend, spend, spend under the guise of recovery. Bankrupt the government, which is coming. Next thing's coming is the economic collapse. Blame the capitalists for it. Trash the Constitution and declare a dictatorship. If that's not exactly what's going on right now, I don't know what is. From 1934. Isn't that incredible? This was published long before we had two or three generations of children brainwashed in the public school system to accept socialism, to accept communism. This is 1934. Okay, there's still a lot of patriots around, still a lot of morality in the culture. And I'm sure you'd find similar warnings in various papers that were published in the 1920s as well. And my point is this. It's reality, it's unpleasant, but the fact is, for centuries, American people have been warned by somebody. Whether it's just a simple journalist who were there, or one decent, honest politician, where there are none anymore, but at one time I'm sure there were still some decent politicians in the country. But whether it was an individual or a group of individuals, a patriot or whatever, people have been trying to warn Americans what communism was trying to do in this country, what communist mayors and communist senators and communist congressmen were trying to do. They warned about the subtle and steady encroachment of communism in our nation, in our nation's life. But you see, the majority of the people haven't cared. They haven't cared, and they have not tried to do anything about it until now. It's not even the majority now, it's just the minority still now. But even the minority hasn't woken up until now to do anything about it. And even now, when the government's passing all kinds of laws to curtail or completely remove the freedom of Americans to bear arms, which is a very big deal. I remember I said last, when that last school shooting happened, I got on here and said, this is the one. This is the one that's going to take away the Second Amendment. This is the one they're going to use to finally take the guns from Americans so they can install dictatorship. And this is the one. That was the one that started. And it's still rolling, and it's still going. So even now, the government's passing all, not just the government, local state governments, local governments. There's all kinds, there must be 50 or 60 or 70 different laws that are being passed all over the nation right now. Not just, I'm talking about, forget the government, federal government. I'm talking about state and local laws of towns, municipalities, townships, that are passing all kinds of anti-gun laws. And over half the nation agrees with what's happening as far as Obama taking the people's guns. You got over half the population that's been brainwashed to follow a fearless leader wherever he goes. Just like the Bible says, follow Jesus, whithersoever he goes, these people follow the fearless leader. They follow the American government. They follow the president, just like he's God. And they will follow him through the destruction of the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the rest of them as they go down. But what I'm saying is still the majority of American people are oblivious to this, what's going on here. And I got a toll of how Americans felt about what's going on. It has different questions about the gun laws that are coming down the pike. And I got it here. But 80% of Americans, this is a recent poll, one of the most recent ones, approve of stopping people with mental illnesses from purchasing guns. That sounds good at first, but just wait a minute. Over half the population, 67%, support a federal database that tracks all guns, all gun sales, private, public, auctions, bazaars, everywhere. 80% want people who are diagnosed with mental illnesses not to have a firearm. And that's all sounds very good, but except one thing. Already, the average American is in danger of being officially labeled as mentally ill for a wide range of conditions, many of which have nothing to do with their actual mental health, including not trusting the federal government. Not trusting the federal government is now considered an illness, a mental illness. Do you know that? This is right out of the communist playbook. They've done it in every country the communists have taken over. They've used mental illness to put people into re-education camps, into nut houses, torture them, shoot them full of drugs until they break. And mental illness is defined as anything that is against the communist regime. If you're anti-Obama, if you're anti the federal government taking over everything, you're mentally ill. Just like they put out a terrorist list 6 months ago, Homeland Security put out a potential list of people who are terrorists. None of them were Arabs. None of them were Muslims. It was people who disagreed with the government, people who valued highly individual liberty, who put a great value on the Constitution of the United States. You can't believe it. In other words, everybody that's against communism is now a potential terrorist or mentally ill. Okay, it's coming in increments. It's not being plastered on the billboards right now, but that's what it is. So these 80% of Americans who think, oh yeah, well you don't want a nutcase going out and shooting those people like those kids. That guy was on drugs. He was nuts. Sure, you don't want that guy doing that. But what if the president defines patriotism as nuts? You're nuts if you're a patriot. You're nuts if you want to hold to the Constitution. You're nuts if you're a Christian. You're nuts if you believe the Bible. You're mentally ill if you don't agree with the communist, anti-God, socialist program that's coming down the pike here. Senator Feinstein, she said, all returning veterans are mentally ill. 2 days ago, there was a bill being debated in Congress, and it was to outlaw all automatic weapons, which you're going to do. But somebody put in a caveat there that was going to exempt veterans because they know how to handle weapons. They're expert at weapons. They're very competent at weapons. They should not be denied, you know, the ability to handle these kind of weapons. And so she was talking against that amendment. She didn't want that amendment put in there. In fact, she said all veterans are basically mentally ill. They come home mentally ill. And they should be denied the right to own a firearm, at least that kind of firearm. Now again, 67% of Americans support a federal database that tracks all gun sales, okay? Well, it's a very small step from tracking all gun sales to forcing gun owners to register those guns that have been bought. And once you start tracking them and having them registered, it's a very small step, even smaller, from gun registration to gun confiscation, and that's the whole point of all this. Yet the majority of Americans seem oblivious to this incremental. See, it's incremental. It's gradualism. Little by little by little by little, year after year, week in, week out, a little law here, a little law there, break down this barrier, break down that morality, establish this precedent for homosexuals here, little by little, and people just let it happen. Let me see. I was going to read some things here. First of all, let me read this, Feinstein, what Feinstein said. Says this is a heading, says, Senator Feinstein says all our veterans are mentally ill and can't own guns. Isn't that wonderful? You join the Army, you go there and risk your life, you may lose one of your limbs, get an eye shot out. You come home and you can't have a gun because these communist traitors. And we don't have guns. I'm not supporting guns because we buy guns or we have guns here. But you have a right to have, if you're American, you have a right to have a gun. And it's only guns that's going to stop tyranny. I mean, only guns could stop tyranny, possibly. She's been a fanatic gun control advocate. And this guy says, yesterday she upped the ante by declaring that all military vets, merely because they are vets, are mentally ill. On that ground alone, she insists that vets should be denied any exemption to her extremist gun control bill. Feinstein let slip her true opinion of Americans' veterans during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing when she was asked to discuss a proposed amendment to her pending gun control bill. This amendment would have allowed military veterans to obtain guns that would be banned from other Americans. Feinstein thought this was a terrible idea because she presumes vets are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome and are therefore too unstable to be trusted with weapons. How do you describe a person who's incapacitated? What's your criteria for saying a veteran is mentally ill? She's saying most everybody comes back from Iraq has this disease, post-traumatic stress syndrome. She's just blankly saying all the veterans that have been in war, that have killed other people, they come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome. They're not fit to handle a gun. Isn't that a good way to treat your veterans who've been protecting your country? These people are like kings and queens. They sit on their thrones. They think you and me are scum. They look at us as scum, useless eaters, just somebody to get money out of, just somebody to wring the last bit of money so they can spend their money in the government that they want. That's all we are to them, a source of revenue. And once we lose our thing for making money, they'd put us to death as quick as they could breathe. They don't care one bit for the people. They're just tyrants, all of them are internal tyrants. But anyway, my question is, since the 20s, at least, Americans have been warned what's going on here, how it's happening, you know, social programs, the New Deal. You know, how come Americans haven't been doing something about it? Are they asleep? What's going on? Have they just been so distracted by the luxuries and the pleasures of the good life all those years? As it comes down, step by step. It's incremental, yes. But you can see each increment if you're looking. There are people out there that are warning you against this the whole time. They've seen it. All you got to do is want to know the truth. And look, it's there. Well, it's not just a wicked communist government that's a problem. We have a communist government right now, believe me. It's already communist. It's not becoming communist, it is communist. But it's not just the government's a problem. In my view, the American people, the Americans themselves, have become wicked. And it wasn't just a school system that made the kids wicked. It was wicked American parents that let the kids become indoctrinated in this garbage. The people have become wicked. And just as it was in the days of Israel, the prophets said the whole body, leaders and the people, the whole body's sick. It has open wounds. It won't be healed. There's been many preachers who have called God, the American people, back to God over the last 50 years. And all the secular people are warned about communism. They laugh at them. McCarthy was a joke. McCarthy was right. He tried to dig out and root out the communists from this nation. He had his idiosyncrasies. He didn't do anything right, but he's a patriot. And everybody's been laughing at anybody that's like that for generations. They think communism is a joke. They think America's invincible. It's the whole body that's sick. Especially people who talk about the Constitution, they go back about the Founding Fathers. And what so many of them are missing is that what made America great was God. God raised the country up. God used Christians to establish this country, okay? The majority, the vast majority of the American population at the time of the Revolution were Christians, or at least they identified themselves with Christian morality, with Christian doctrines, and they upheld that morality. Today, the situation is exactly the reverse. The majority of the people in America now are immoral. Not only are they immoral, they hate righteousness. They hate righteousness. And in that sense, our nation's history parallels that of ancient Israel, I believe. Now, let me show you what Isaiah said about Israel, what God did for Israel. God raised Israel up to be his chosen people. Now, he didn't raise America up to be his chosen people, but he did raise America up. And he did raise it up by Christians. So in a sense, we can compare what's going on in America two would happen in Israel, because God raised both nations up. And he made sure both nations had everything they needed to survive, to be safe, and to be blessed. This is what Isaiah says. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug it around, removed its stones, and planted it with choicest vines. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its walls, and it will become trampled. I will lay it to waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord is a host, is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. Woe to those who had house to house and joined field to field, until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. In my ears the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely many houses shall become desolate, even great and fine ones, without occupants. For 10 acres of vineyard will yield only one bath of wine, and a homer of seed will yield but an ephah of grain. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them, and their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute, and by wine, but they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the works of his hands. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore Sheol, that's death, has enlarged its throat and opened its mouth without measure. And Jerusalem's splendor, her multitude, her din of revelry, and the jubilant within it shall descend into it. You can see the parallels of how God raised up Israel and took care of it, and how God raised up the United States and took care of it. God gave us everything we needed to remain free, to remain a blessed people, to remain invincible. But instead, we threw it away. And while we were throwing it away, we ignored those who were warning us that we were throwing it away. We ignored those preachers of righteousness who tried to turn the people back to God. And so finally, God closed our eyes. See? The American people become proud. They think that America is invincible because of its political system. The American people think we're invincible because we're a democracy. They don't understand that it was the Christian morality of America, its acknowledgement of God as its creator and its protector, that's what made America great. That's what made America prosper. And that's why the first and central attack of communists on this nation was on the morality of the nation. There's like 55 planks in the Communist Manifesto to take over the world. And right up the top there was to destroy America's morality, because the morality is what was protecting America. Communists knew that once you take the morality out of the nation and become reprobate and all the stuff that they are, God's no longer going to protect it. There's no more protection. It was its morality that gave it so much of its protection. For generations, Americans have been rejecting biblical morality. As a matter of fact, they despise it, most of them. So God's judged this nation by making the people blind. It's a judgment of God. And just as he sent Isaiah to blind the eyes and deafen the ears of Israel, so he sent America's prophets over the last few years to do the same thing. Okay, this is what he said to Isaiah. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Now, isn't that a horrible thing to say? God tells the prophet to make the heart of the people he's preaching to fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Make them go blind, make them go deaf, make them so fat they can't move around. You get so fat, you're lethargic, you can't move, you're lazy, and you can't think, and your discernment goes down. He says, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So why is God telling Isaiah to go and make these people blind so they won't convert? They won't turn. It's because they've already rejected the former warnings of the Lord. You go back through Isaiah, and you see time and time and time again, God has warned the nation, pleaded with them. They'll send a little judgment, and a judgment that's a little worse than that comes in, and they still listen. He sends a bigger judgment, and then finally, he just turns them over. That's why he sends Isaiah out for this time. He says, make their hearts fat, make them blind, make them heavy, so they can't see, so they can't repent. There's a time when God says you cannot repent. He's not going to let you repent. That's not a God we know. The only God we know is whenever we do wrong, he's waiting for us to repent. It usually takes forever for us to repent. Sometimes we never do. But there's a God there who's always waiting for us to repent. And we can be sure that whenever we turn, whenever we go to him to repent, he's there. What do you think is going to happen one time when you go to God to repent and he's not there? He says, I'm not going to hear anymore. You're done. That time's coming. It's already come in our nation. It's going to come on individual people. And it's going to come on individual Christians. My point was, God has tried to warn the people of America. How more public can you get in the newspapers, people warning you about communism? God's been trying to warn this nation over and over again. Over and over again, the people, not just the government, the people who have turned a deaf ear, the people who could have stopped this, didn't. It's too late now, you can't stop it. Back in the 20s and the 30s, you could have stopped it. Absolutely, absolutely you could have stopped it. Now it's too late. Now there's a minority of people waking up, but the liberty they're fighting for is not righteous liberty. It's not the liberty to serve God rather than being in England and having to serve a pope or a Protestant version of the pope. They want liberty to watch pornography, liberty to drink and smoke, liberty to curse and live the way they want to live. That's not the kind of liberty George Washington and our forefathers fought for. It wasn't the liberty to serve the devil. It was liberty to serve God. Okay, now I want to read some articles to you that I came across this week that I think are worthy of note because the destruction of America is coming. The only question is what kind of destruction is it? But part of destruction is it's going to become a communist nation and Obama's going to be a total dictator. And many of us are going to be either murdered or re-educated in camps. First article I want to go to is from the Liberty Beacon. It's called The Death of America. Leaked U.S. Army document outlines plan for re-education camps in America. It says, a leaked U.S. Army document prepared for the Department of Defense contains shocking plans for political activists to be pacified by PSYOP officers into developing an appreciation of U.S. policies while detained in prison camps inside the United States. The document entitled FM3-39.40, Internment and Resettlement Operations, was originally released on a restricted basis to the DOD in February 2010, but has been leaked online. The manual outlines policies for processing detainees into internment camps, both globally and inside the United States. International agencies like the UN and the Red Cross are named as partners in addition to domestic federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. The document makes clear that the policies apply within U.S. territory and involve DOD support to U.S. civil authorities for domestic emergencies and for designated law enforcement and other activities, including man-made disasters, accidents, terrorist attacks, and incidents in the U.S. and its territories. The manual states, quote, these operations may be performed as domestic civil support operations, and adds that the authority to approve resettlement, such operations within the United States territories, would require a special exemption to the Posse Comitatus Act, which can be obtained via the president invoking his executive authority. The document also makes reference to identifying detainees using their social security number. Aside from enemy combatants and other classifications of detainees, the manual includes the designation of civilian internees, quote, civilian internees, in other words, citizens who are detained for security reasons, for protection, or because he or she has committed an offense against the detaining power.